triumphs of His justice and mercy are told to us in the Holy Bible, and especially in the person and work of Christ. And we get to read about that, both from the Old and New Testament this day. Let's read first from Isaiah 53, and then we'll go to John 19, the first 18 verses. When I grew up as a boy, I want to tell you this, my father, when reading the scriptures at the table, at mealtimes, he would sometimes misread the scriptures. That is, he would sometimes read it differently than what it says to see if we were listening. I'm going to read Isaiah 53. I'm going to read something different than what it says to see if you're listening. Read with me Isaiah 53. A chapter which I'm told, by the way, the Jews do not read. It too plainly points to Christ and Him crucified. And they won't read it. How sad. We get to read it. The Word of God. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he is numbered as one of the transgressors. He is one of the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Did you catch it? I said he is one of the transgressors. Doesn't say that. It said he was numbered with the transgressors. And let's see that in actual fact as we go to John 19. John 19. And we'll read the first 18 verses. And then we will also read from Mark. Mark 15, verse 27 and 28, which is our text. John 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited or formed a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him
we have a law. And by our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid and went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate to him, speakest thou not to me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given you from above. Therefore he that delivers me unto you has the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whosoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover at about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And then turn with me to Mark 15, verse 27 and 28. Where we read Mark 15, 27 and 28. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. So far the reading of God's word. May the Lord bless the scripture to us. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, what a privilege to meet for this special worship service today. This Good Friday, 2017. We remember, especially this time, Christ's death on sinners' behalf. Never, I think it's safe to say, can we think too much on Jesus' once-for-all sacrifice for sin when he suffered and died on Golgotha. And most of our troubles, if not all, can be traced to not considering enough, nor appreciating and believing sufficiently God's unsearchable riches of salvation for us in and through Christ and him crucified. How good that we could just read together from the Holy Bible, both from the Old and New Testament, about the suffering and dying Savior who gave himself for a ransom for many. What good news and precious gospel tidings we may hear again from the Holy Spirit-inspired scriptures open to us now. In this Good Friday worship service from our readings, I invite you to think and meditate with me, especially on the phrase about Jesus Christ the Savior. He was numbered with the transgressors. It doesn't say he was one of the transgressors. He was numbered with the transgressors. Not only do we find this in Isaiah 53 verse 12, but it is quoted by Jesus himself in Luke 22 verse 37, speaking about himself as Jesus and his disciples went into the Garden of Gethsemane. Plus, it is emphatically pictured for us with Jesus on Golgotha, crucified between two others, as something that's mentioned in all four Gospels. In Matthew 27, verse 38, in John 19, verse 18, in Luke 23, verse 33, and in Mark 15, 27, which we read, and with him, that is with Jesus, they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand, and the other on his left. And then Mark adds, only Mark does, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. It is true that Mark 15:28 is not found in some of the English translations of the Bible, not because they are unfaithful, but because it is missing in quite a number of Greek manuscripts of the New Testament. Yet there is enough evidence for that verse 28, and there are also sufficient number of Greek manuscripts with it included. So we can surely be safe in believing this is part of Scripture, Holy Spirit-inspired Scripture, Mark 15:28. And the Scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. But what is the point of the statement, really, about Jesus Christ, the Savior, that he was numbered with the transgressors? Imagine you were driving last night, maybe around 9 o'clock, it was getting dark, and you're driving and all of a sudden you spot a house on the side and about 6 guys around that house, and it looks suspicious. In fact, you see one guy kick the door, you see another break a window, and you see it's a break-in. And you park your car, and you're not fool enough to try to get involved, but you do go up to it, the property, and you hide behind a tree, and you're going to take some pictures just for evidence. You're on the property, and you're about to take pictures, but then the police come. 6 police cars. 12 men come out. And they, because somebody informed them, and those 6 guys get captured, arrested, and you too, because you're on the property. You're numbered with the transgressors. You're numbered with the transgressors. So it was with Jesus. Will you notice with me the gospel marvel of this text and the gospel mercy and the gospel message proclaimed to us in these words? He was numbered with the transgressors. To see the marvel here, just consider with me, who is this he in the text? And what are transgressors? He refers to the Savior, Messiah, whom God would send to this earth, and who would come to seek and to save sinners. When Isaiah says he would be numbered with the transgressors, he refers then to God who would come in the flesh, the most holy, sinless, perfect, pure, good person, Jesus himself. Pilate, all through the trial of Christ, was convinced and convicted there was no fault in this man, Jesus. Jesus was guilty of no wrongdoings as far as he, as highest human judge, could tell. Not before God, nor before people. And we know Jesus was innocent of all sin. There was no deceit in his mouth, we read in Isaiah 53. The charges against Jesus are repeatedly described as false charges, lies, and deceit against him. In both the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, we are told how Pilate knew that for envy they had delivered Jesus to him for to be crucified. It wasn't for crimes that Jesus did. No charges against Christ were possible to prove. Those who brought charges are called false witnesses. In Hebrews 7:26, Jesus is described as a Savior High Priest who is holy, harmless, literally blameless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And the summary meaning of that is Jesus was absolutely, totally sinless, morally pure, upright, without spot or defect, without any transgression ever. He was one who lived in perfect integrity and infinite love according to all God's commandments before God and man. That is who Jesus always was and is from his conception to his last breath when on earth. And says Peter in Acts 10:38, he always went about doing good. Now think of this gospel marvel. This Jesus was numbered with the transgressors, with transgressors. And what are transgressors then? Well, transgressors are all people who disobey God's law in any way, in their thoughts or words or deeds. All those who defy God's laws, God's holy word and will, and who willfully step across the line and the boundary lines that God set and live in sin and evil, they are transgressors. Transgressors are violators of God's law. They overstep the boundaries God has set in His holy law. They are rebels against God and offenders before Him and His law. One of the many words for sin in the Bible is being guilty of transgression. Transgression. Stepping over the line. We have transgressed and rebelled, we read Jeremiah saying before God in Lamentations 3, verse 42. David says in Psalm 51, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. In Jeremiah 2, verse 29, we hear God say to His covenant people of old, wherefore will you plead with me? You all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. Transgressors and sinners and rebels before God come in all stripes and sizes and shapes. In other words, there are countless ways we as fallen sinners since Adam and Eve's initial transgression, eating that forbidden fruit, there are so many ways we can prove what sinners and transgressors we are and guilty of countless transgressions. There's no one here this morning who is not by nature a guilty transgressor before God and His Word. Yes, in numberless ways. In one of our Psalter song selections, Psalter 419 verse 2, based on Psalm 65 verse 3, we sing, a mighty stream of foul transgressions prevails from day to day. That's our true picture on our own. Are you acknowledging you are a transgressor? But now listen to the gospel marvel of our text about Jesus, the Savior. He was numbered, that is, He was counted among, He was reckoned with, He was viewed as one of the transgressors. He was numbered with the transgressors, counted as one of the rebellious. Do you see the gospel marvel in this statement? The New Testament, by God's providence and design, when Christ came 700 years after the prophecy also of Isaiah 53, it declares to us and shows most graphically, dramatically, emphatically, Christ numbered among and with the transgressors. We see it with Him crucified between two thieves and Him in the middle. Pilate may have meant that as an insult to the Jews, mocking them for their king. But God overruled it all and designed it all by His almighty power to bring about and to proclaim in a powerful, visible way for us, behold the Savior Jesus, numbered with the transgressors. It's so obvious, do you see it? He's numbered with the transgressors. He, the Holy One of Israel. We are told in all four Gospels how Jesus was crucified with two others. And His cross was in the middle between them. And the two others were not simply nice people who were still sinful too, yes, as is the case of us all. No, but He was crucified between two notorious criminals. People who really showed they were transgressors in a very public way. They are described in Scripture as robbers, thieves, lawless revolutionary terrorists, you might say, with the Greek word for thieves, referring literally to, quote, those who ruthlessly use force in seeking to obtain the goods of others, and who care not for the lives of others as they pursue their ideological goals and pursuits. You might say, these two beside Jesus, crucified with Him, are not unlike the terrorists of our times today. It is striking that Luke, telling of the two crucified with Jesus in between them, he describes the two on each side of Him as malefactors. I remember when our children grew up and were learning to read, they would say malefactors. No, malefactors. And that means literally evildoers. Evildoers. He was crucified between two evildoers. He was numbered with the transgressors, you see. Behold Jesus, the Holy One, with no evil or sin in any way whatsoever in His life. Numbered with the transgressors. It's like you, a little bit, being arrested with those six guys trying to break in that house, and you weren't a part of it. Do you see the gospel marvel in this with me? If I would give you a group of words and ask which does not belong in the following group or category, you all would know the answer, even the children here. For example, which of the following does not belong? Red, white, tomorrow, black, green. You would all say, well, the word tomorrow, that doesn't belong, because it's not a color. If I would say Buick, Volkswagen, Chevrolet, Mustang, United Airlines, you would guess correctly, wouldn't you? The word that doesn't belong is United Airlines. It's not a car. It's an airline company with airplanes. Even if I would say, if you've been listening to the news at all, Alaska Airlines, WestJet, Delta Airlines, Air Canada, United Airlines, you could guess which one doesn't quite fit with the others. Namely, again, United Airlines. For right now, it is an airline company in big trouble for what happened on one of their flights just this past week with a man violently and perhaps even lawlessly, unlawfully removed from a flight. And the story being put on video clip and made a viral video clip across the world. The company is in bad times because of it. That's another story. But just with those three illustrations, how in the world can it be that Jesus would be numbered with the transgressors? Indeed, numbered among them, enrolled as one of them. Not one of them, but as one of them. In company with them, alongside of them. When clearly He wasn't one of the transgressors in any way whatsoever. Oh, this you see is the gospel marvel. He was numbered with the transgressors to come for our help, for our rescue. Indeed, to bring about deliverance and salvation for hopeless, guilty, defiled sinners like us. Even for sinners and transgressors like you and me. He was numbered with the transgressors. That is what we remember, especially this day, thinking of Christ and Him crucified. In this gospel fact, we shouldn't only see great gospel marvel, but great gospel mercy. Gospel mercy, our second point. Mercy is God's forgiving goodness and loving kindness shown to those who are in misery and distress, irrespective of how undeserving we are in ourselves. And in great and gracious gospel mercy, God declared and promised even, you know the story, the very day that Adam and Eve rebelled against Him and brought themselves and the whole human race under the curse and misery of sin and in bondage to Satan and under the judgment of God, God promised He would send a Redeemer. Yes, a promised seed of the woman who would crush Satan once for all and bring full and free deliverance from all sin and evil. And that promised seed of the woman is Jesus, the Son of God, become Son of Man in the Virgin Mary by the miraculous conception of the Holy Spirit in her. And Jesus, as the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, He gave Himself to be the sinner's Savior, sent of the Father, for this purpose, for this gracious, merciful purpose, to save His people from their sins. And all Scripture now proclaims Him to us, Jesus the Savior, who identified Himself with sinners. Yes, so much. So Jesus came numbered with the transgressors. Why? That as the just for the unjust, by both His perfect righteous life and His perfect sufferings on sinners' behalf. In payment for sin, even to the death of the cross, He might make full atonement for sin and make a way to bring us back to God, reconciled to Him as His redeemed children. He was numbered with the transgressors for our deliverance, as a captain of our salvation, to bring us out of our trouble and woe and misery. Isaiah 53 is thus, in almost every verse, telling us of the substitutionary rescue salvation work of Christ on sinners' behalf. In Adam we are ruined. In Christ, the second Adam, we find deliverance and redemption. And so we read in Isaiah 53, He who was numbered with the transgressors, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. For the transgression of my people, we read, was He stricken and smitten and afflicted. You see, that's what the cross of Jesus is all about. Indeed, the last verse of Isaiah 53 states how Jesus poured out His soul unto death for to make full satisfaction or payment for sin on sinners' behalf. You could translate poured out also, spread out. See, He spread out His soul unto death. And that's what He was on the cross, spread out for the salvation of sinners. All that sinners like us deserve, even the eternal wrath of God and everlasting hell, is what Jesus suffered in soul and body in the place of His people as mediator, as Savior. His once for all sacrifice on the cross can be summarized as Isaiah 53:12 puts it. He poured out His soul unto death. He spread Himself out for us unto death. Emptied Himself unto death, and He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. In the Hebrew, the verb form for many of these verbs in that last verse, the verb form for bare the sin of many and poured out His soul, spread Himself, is in the so-called perfect tense, meaning it is once for all done, with everlasting impact and effect. And the verb form for he made intercession is in the verb tense, a different one, describing one of resultant ongoing action and continuous intercession that never ends because of His once for all finished work on sinners' behalf. It is precious and powerful. The precise way the Scriptures put it, all proclaiming to us, never, dear congregation, could we find a better Savior than God has given in His mercy to us in Jesus Christ, the Savior, numbered with the transgressors. After I had finished my sermon, I listened to a sermon from another preacher, and the preacher mentioned about this text, 7 points. He was numbered with the transgressors daily. And it was a deadly numbering, he said. Think of Him on the cross. And it was a dreadful numbering. Think of His suffering all His life, especially in His last hours on the cross again. But it was a deliberate numbering with the transgressors. Deliberate also on Jesus' part. He would have it no otherwise. He would give Himself on transgressors' behalf. And said this preacher, it was a divine numbering. God numbered Him with the transgressors, that transgressors might be numbered among His people. That's the gospel, the beautiful gospel in our text. It was, said this preacher, a delivering numbering to deliver us. And then said the preacher at the end, it was a drawing numbering to draw all sinners unto Himself. Will you be drawn to the Savior, seeing He was numbered with the transgressors to save sinners like us? Are you not drawn to this Savior, Jesus, numbered with the transgressors for the salvation of sinners? What would have moved God the Father to give His own beloved Son to come to this earth to be numbered with vile, wicked, guilty transgressors for the purpose to seek and to save all His people from their sins and sinfulness? The reason can only be found only in the triune God Himself, who is infinite love and goodness and justice and mercy. All God's attributes come to their fullest display in infinite beauty and harmony in sending Christ to save sinners. And with Jesus giving Himself to save sinners in His life on earth and in His death on Golgotha and in His resurrection from the dead, Jesus was numbered with the transgressions to bring about plenteous salvation for sinners like us. Today in this Good Friday Christian worship service, we stop a few moments to consider and praise God for this gospel marvel and gospel mercy of God, with Christ numbered with the transgressors, numbered with sinners like us, not to destroy, but to save and to rescue. If God had not sent His Son as Emmanuel, God with us, numbered with the transgressors, we all would perish in our sins and without remedy or escape be cast forever in hell hereafter. But with Jesus having come as captain of our salvation, numbered with the transgressions, come not as one against us, but as one for us, for our help, for our deliverance, for our salvation, now and forever. Oh, what good news we have here. What gospel tidings to know and to trust and to obey and to tell to others as well. Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. This statement, prophesied in the Old Testament and proclaimed and pictured in the New Testament, is a glorious gospel statement, full of gospel marvel and gospel mercy, and it gives a gospel message, our third point. A gospel message for all ages, for all peoples, till the end of the world. Today we are here to listen again to that gospel message. And for what purpose? That God's people might praise the Lord for so great and glorious, gracious, good-doing Savior whom He has given to us, Christ, and Him crucified and risen again. Isaiah 53 already promises how that Messiah Christ would wonderfully triumph as Savior of sinners, as one numbered with the transgressors for their rescue, for all who trust and follow Him. They will never be put to shame. The Savior will divide, that is, share all His gospel blessings obtained through His completely finished and most God-pleasing and God-approved salvation work on sinners' behalf. So successful is Jesus' gospel work that not one of His people for whom Christ suffered and died will remain lost. No, but all will be brought in. All will be brought to repentance and faith and be forever redeemed by our Savior God, led by His Word and Spirit, and the drawing of the Father in heaven. He was numbered with the transgressors to bring His people to be numbered with Him as saved and redeemed forever through His shed blood. So the gospel message today is proclaimed and pressed on each of us now so that, yes, God's people might really and afresh praise the Lord. Never can we praise the Lord enough for the gift of His Son come to save sinners. But the gospel is also preached to call those who are not yet saved to come to the Savior, to come to the Savior, and to acknowledge your transgression before Him, and to receive from Him, even for a first time, that deliverance for transgressors and sinners and rebels like us all, which He obtained. Are you today acknowledging you are a transgressor? And are you confessing the Lord Jesus as the only one who can deliver you from your transgressions? Are you trusting Him? The gospel message includes the call and the invitation to come to the Savior, confessing all your transgressions and sins and evil before Him, and asking for His shed blood also to wash away all your sins and to give you a new heart, and that He may intercede for you too in the way of grace and truth and everlasting life in and through Christ, who was numbered with the transgressors to make a way of salvation. In two chapters later, Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7, which chapter the Sunday school children are also learning, we read the prophet's words further from the mouth of God. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. With Jesus, the Almighty Savior, the gracious Savior, who was numbered with the transgressors, dear congregation, is a gospel message for transgressors, for sinners, that with Him is found forgiveness of all our sins and everlasting righteousness before God, something we can never accomplish ourselves. Plus, with Him is the gift of eternal life in the new heavens and in the new earth, instead of being cast into hell as we deserve as transgressors of ourselves. We read in the scriptures, two were crucified with Jesus. One of the two crucified beside Jesus, believing on Him as Savior by God's grace, was forever saved. And that very day went to paradise with Jesus. But the other, you know, we're not told he believed. In fact, we're left with the impression he refused to believe. And he became forever doomed, perishing in his sins and transgressions. What about you and me? On which side are we? Are you? Without Christ as your and my Savior, there is no help or hope for any one of us. But we remain in our sins, regardless how religious we might be. And on Good Friday and Easter, lots of people are religious. Not necessarily believing in Jesus, but they're religious, thinking, oh, that should get me to heaven. That won't get you to heaven. Only Jesus gets us to heaven, trusting Him. We are transgressors. And salvation for transgressors that the Holy God can justly approve is only that perfect salvation found for us in and through Christ Jesus. And He is not far removed from us, for He was numbered with the transgressors. He came alongside of us to be the Savior. And in the preaching of the gospel of Christ and Him crucified, the Savior comes very near to us through His word in earnest gospel appeal and in love in the gospel ministry. Do you too right now believe and receive Him as your in your heart as your only Savior and Lord by God's grace? Yes, also for a vile transgressor like yourself and myself. No matter how much of a sinner we are, there's mercy with Him. How encouraging and inviting are the words of commentator, reformer John Calvin on our text when he writes, quote, "The text of Scripture expressly mentions transgressors, that we may know that we ought to betake ourselves with assured confidence to the cross of Christ when we are horror-struck by the dread of sin. Yea, for this reason, Christ Jesus is held out as our intercessor and advocate," says Calvin, "for without His intercession, our sins would deter us from approaching to God. He is the Savior God for transgressors. Let all sinners come then, come now, for He was numbered with transgressors." He was numbered to seek and to save transgressors, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a gospel message this is for us to know, dear congregation, for ourselves, and for us to tell to others, as we are given opportunity still to do. Oh, that we all here, by the grace of God, in spirit and truth, ever rely upon, and rejoice in, and reflect to others the glory of this gospel statement. He was numbered with the transgressors. Seeing time and again the gospel marvel of this and the gospel mercy and the gospel message in this text. There was a Christian believer from way back who understood this good news. And he wrote a poem that has since become a famous song in the history of the Christian church. Many of you will know it. I'll just quote part of it. "What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior. 'Tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor. Vouchsafe, or please grant to me thy grace. My burden in thy passion, Lord, thou hast borne or carried for me. For it was my transgression which brought this woe on thee. I cast me down before thee. Wrath were my rightful lot. Have mercy, I implore thee. Redeemer, spurn me not. The joy can never be spoken above all joys beside, when in thy body broken I thus with safety hide. O Lord of life, desiring thy glory now to see, beside thy cross expiring, I breathe my soul to thee. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love to thee." Even so, and only so, dear congregation, blessed Good Friday and happy Easter to you. Yes, looking unto this Jesus who was numbered with the transgressors to set us free. Hallelujah. Amen.